You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. It is a Thursday edition of the Gym Class from KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Ben on the other side of the glass, our producer, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, KGYM mobile app, download it if you have not done so already, and your smart speaker. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us for Off the Glass coming up in about 25 minutes or so. We'll talk with him about a little game last night in Piscataway, as Iowa and Rutgers went at it. We'll get his thoughts about that. You and I, a tough one on the road at Valpo, dropping that one without A.J. Green, and more in the world of college basketball. We'll do that here in just a little bit. Have a feeling we're going to talk a lot about Iowa and Rutgers on the program here today. And with that in mind, going to give you the phone number and the text line number, 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class program, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour and getting you up to date and get your local programming underway here. We'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock coming up this evening. Again, 319-366-1600. That is the text line, phone line as well, as Mark joins me from his home on the chilly southwest side here on this Thursday. Also a Bowling Night in America wrap-up, because we are obligated to give you one today. Hi, Mark.
Hello, Scott. Hello, everyone. Looking forward to chewing on that game last night, among other things.
As Spencer and I were talking in the sports office, it's stupid cold out. There's no other way to describe it. It's just stupid cold out.
And he's from Wisconsin, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Telling me about the great story, and they had a semi accident, which is not funny. I mean, no one was hurt, thankfully, but this was in Minneapolis on I-94, just outside Minneapolis, and a load of potatoes, and it's so cold up there, the potatoes adhered and froze to the roadway, and they could not reopen I-94. I thank Spencer for that particular piece of information today. That's how cold it is, not only here, but all around the Midwest.
You can't get that just anywhere, Scott.
No, you can't. That's Midwest right there, ladies and gentlemen. That's Big Ten country right there, giving you everything it has. 319-366-1600. Iowa and Rutgers last night, as it was a very interesting evening in Piscataway, the lone hookup between the two this year. Let's start off with the obvious. It was not a pretty basketball game. If you're a coach of youngsters out there, please do not show that one to your kids. 48-46, that one's not going to be headed to Springfield anytime soon in the Hall of Fame. But we'll talk about the ending of the ball game. That's what people want to discuss. And the call by referee Courtney Green last night with 2 seconds remaining or thereabouts, as a foul gave Rutgers the opportunity to hit some free throws to take the lead in that particular ball game, and that's what they did, and won it by 2 at 48-46. There are a lot of things to break down as far as this game is concerned, besides the finish, Mark.
Well, number one, I think you can send it off to the Hall of Fame from a defensive standpoint. Both teams played winning defense. Probably a big part of that was the lack of execution on offense, but nevertheless, 48-46, you don't see that too often in the Big Ten. Iowa averaging 86 a game, scores 40 under that. And whenever officiating comes up, I always preface my comments with, you know, don't put yourself in that position to have an official's call determine the outcome of the game. Iowa shot 28% from the field, 22% from threes, and barely over 50% from the line. It was just atrocious from an offensive standpoint. But yeah, I'll throw in also, Iowa got no bench points last night either, a rarity. Nevertheless, the game's tied, last possession, and Courtney Green made a horrific call. There's no two ways about it. When you see comments from Mike DeCourcy, who has been covering college basketball for 50 years, saying it's the worst call he's ever seen, you've got Iowa State fans, Rutgers fans, other Big Ten fans tweeting the same. It was unanimous. Keegan Murray barely bumped, barely breathed on Ron Harper. But yet Courtney Green made that call. And Ron Harper made two free throws to win the game. Very unfortunate for Iowa. Very unfortunate call. But, you know, what do you do about it? You can't do anything about it. Fran McCaffrey asked in his postseason or postgame news conference, said, I'll let my kids answer that. Number one, normally Fran McCaffrey would have blown a gasket on that call, but he couldn't, because that would have definitely been the end of the game for Iowa had he drawn a technical. Keegan Murray, poised as heck, walked away from it. What do you do?
You don't
do it. There's no, you can complain about it. You can let it ruin your Thursday. There's really nothing you can do about it but complain about it.
That is true. 319-366-1600 as text already coming in all over the place as far as the basketball game and the call is concerned. And I start off with 27:52, and they bring up a very good point. Don't want to hear about the foul with 2 seconds left, why Iowa lost the game. 39 minutes and 58 seconds before that, they were terrible. It wasn't great. It wasn't great. I wholeheartedly agree with you, 27:52. And there are so many, and who knows? Okay, the call's not made. There's no guarantee Iowa wins that game in overtime. It should have went to overtime, though.
Yeah, Harper was not going to make a shot. It started out with Bohannon on him. He shuffled off Harper to Murray, got the brush. Joe Toussaint was closing in from Harper's right. Harper wasn't even going to get off a shot. But it, at a minimum, should have went to overtime. Or the larger picture, Iowa shouldn't have been in that position.
Iowa shot 28%. Rutgers shot 31% for the game. Scarlet Knights 15% from distance. Iowa was 22% from three. Another big stat, Iowa did not shoot well from the free throw line. Usually a very good free throw shooting team, and they have been not as good in Big Ten play. 6 of 11 last night was it. Iowa shoots their regular free throw percentage, and you can make a pretty good case they might have won that game. Rutgers was 10 of 13 last night, and Iowa did get out-rebounded by 11 in the game on the road last night, and only 8 assists for the Hawkeyes on those buckets last night that Iowa did get, despite shooting less than 30% out there.
And you have Joe Toussaint's play at the end of the first half. That was waved off after being called good. That turned out to be huge.
Yeah, and you and I discussed that earlier today. And yes, big play. I don't like to dwell on it because there's so many things that can change in 20 minutes of basketball. I mean, it's tough to go back and say, yeah, those 2 points that would have tied the game. Keegan Murray wouldn't have been able, maybe not quite be so close to Ron Harper Jr. there at the end. I don't know. I'll say this about the call at the end of the first half. If on if in live action on the court, it is called good. Replay is there to take a look at it, and if there is irreversible evidence, irreputable, whatever evidence, to overturn it, you overturn it. If it is not there, and if it's too close, you don't overturn it. I thought there was not enough evidence to overturn that 2 points at the end of the first half last night, but they did, and that's the way it goes. And just I don't think it had a bearing as far as the ending of the game or the second half is concerned, but Iowa certainly would have loved to have those 2 points back. 319-366-1600, 87-21. If you had the over-under of the first mention of Jim Bain, it came at about 312 this afternoon. kids, give Jim Bain a Google and see what happened in the regular season finale at Mackey Arena back in the Lute Olson era. This was not as bad a call as that. I'm going to say that right away. That cost Iowa a Big Ten regular season championship. This one, who knows what it could cost Iowa in the very end. But it wasn't as bad as the Jim Bain call. No, all through the game, the two teams couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, says 27-23, and 31-48 saying just very, very succinctly, that wasn't a foul. No, it wasn't a foul. It was a horrible call. Courtney Green has messed up two calls at end of games in the last week. Also messed up a call in Northwestern and Wisconsin. In that one that came down the stretch, Northwestern had a clean pick, and Courtney Green called a foul on the Cats in that one, which helped Wisconsin seal that game from the free throw line.
Once again, there's no accountability. What do these Big Ten officials make a game? $2,000-$3,000 a game? And money's not everything. Money doesn't make you a good official. But there's no accountability. I think the best official in the Big Ten is DJ Carstensen. You can't have three DJs on the floor at every arena, every game. There's good officials, there's bad officials. Courtney Green's a bad official, not just because of last night. He's got a pretty good history of it.
319-366-1600. As we get your interaction as far as the play is concerned last night as Iowa falls to Rutgers. Hawks have to regroup quickly. They have a game coming up on Saturday. It is a sellout at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. It is a 3:30 start as Penn State will come to town, and which should be a very interesting game coming up on Saturday. And it's going to be interesting to see. I think the crowd's going to be fired up, obviously, with the sellout, and even more fired up now because of the fact on what happened at the end of the Rutgers-Iowa game. Just too bad. It's just too bad. And like I said, I'm not sure that Iowa wins that game as far as overtime is concerned, but they would have had at least a chance to win it. With five extra minutes out there. The other thing I thought last night was interesting, Mark, was the fact that substitution patterns a little bit different for Fran McCaffrey last night. Bench did not score, as you mentioned. Bench didn't play the usual minutes that we see night in and night out. You take a look at Keegan Murray, or I should say Chris Murray, for example. And he had 10 minutes of playing time last night. Connor McCaffrey got back in 9 minutes. 9 minutes for Tony Perkins. Aaron Ulis only had 5 minutes last night. And Peyton Sanford just got in for 3 minutes in the game last night. It was basically the starters that took and had most of the playing time. I thought Philip Rabracha had a pretty good game last night, all told, for Iowa. Ended up just shy of a double-double, 8 points, 10 rebounds. Keegan Murray had a double-double, 13-13 last night. Patrick McCaffrey had 11, only 3 rebounds, though, in the ball game. 5 assists and 8 points for Joe Toussaint last night. Jordan Bohannon did not have his usual good East Coast Rack Rutgers game last night. Ended up with only 6 on 2 of 10 from three-point land.
Part of the reason the bench didn't play more probably is because of its lack of production. Those guys you mentioned were all of 11 from the field, much like the starters, I should say, and all of 5 from three-point range. The contributions were not there. The argument could be made that you let them out there a little bit more, they get into the flow, on and on and on. But the starters played between 27 and 35 minutes, and that's different from Fran McCaffrey, but that's what he saw out there, and it just didn't work out.
31-91, Courtney Green is the Angel Hernandez of Big Ten basketball. And like we said, he did mess up a call in the Wisconsin-Northwestern game as well. 87-21, and this is up for debate, and we'll ask Kevin to get his opinion as much as he can say on this. Watch a lot of basketball. It seems the Big Ten has the worst officials. Well, the Big 12 folks, Iowa State folks, would give you a pretty good argument as far as that is concerned. Hey, here's what I'm going to say. And I know a lot of friends of mine that are officials out there. They are trying their best. I know that. It is hard. Mark, you know, this game is so much different than it was 15, 20 years ago. It is so much faster. The kids are more athletic. The players are bigger. They are stronger. They have more teaching under their belt. They know what they can do real quick to try to take advantage of the rules. It's tough. And, no, Courtney Green missed it last night. He's missed a few. There's no doubt. But I'm not saying it's an easy job. I am not saying it's an easy job out there. It is very, very, very difficult.
Very true. And on the text line, 7966 mentions that DJ Carson says he's an Iowa City high grad.
Yes, he is.
We were in school there together back in the day. And yes, he is the best official in the Big Ten.
He is. I agree with you. I think he is the best official in the Big Ten. The school that leads Iowa City High. So, a proud alum. Both our texter and DJ Carsonson out there. 2540 says it about as good as you can. In a tie game, you have to let it be decided on the court. You can say in every game that the team that lost should not have let it go down to the final player call. That's what I think irritates Iowa fans the most, is the fact that the call was made and the official took it upon himself to give one team an unnecessary advantage at that point. That call, the basis of foul calls is this. Did one person gain an advantage over another person?
No.
No. There was no advantage gain in that play last night. Period. End of discussion. And as far as I'm concerned.
59-29 on the text line. Still blows my mind how many offensive rebounds we don't get while teams Iowa plays seems to get them very regularly. While checking the box score, the offensive rebounds were 11-9 in favor of Rutgers. But I will say Clifford Omorui, the center for Rutgers, very active, very long, could jump, had 14 rebounds. 4 on the offensive side of things. He was really a factor in that second half.
16-26, one call does not cost a game. Loser's mentality. I agree. But in that situation, with 2 seconds left, you cannot make that call. That is, let them play it out with 2 seconds left. And I think that's what everyone is trying to get across today. That's what I'm trying to get across today. I would assume you are trying to do the same, Mark.
Yeah, I think so. And I think these games are reviewed by the Big Ten office, and officials are being given input. But I once again go back to the fact there's nothing you can do about it unless we find out that Courtney Green's going to be reprimanded or suspended. I don't anticipate that. But maybe it should come to that.
Don't think it's going to happen. Yeah, and they are reviewed. They are reviewed. There's no doubt about that. 319-366-1600 as we come your way on the Gym Class on KGYM.
No, don't advocate for Courtney Greene to be thrown in jail like you did Jim Bain. That's ridiculous.
No. But boy, Jim Bain, if we were in... If that took place in 2022, oh boy. Of course, you may have had replay play into it. Could have looked and saw who that phantom foul was on. Poor Kevin Boyle, to this day, still saying, I didn't touch anybody. He didn't touch anybody that day.
And Chad Green wasn't offside either.
No.
Greenway, I'm sorry.
319-366-1600. Ian from Oxford, before we get to the bottom of the hour here in our Emil's Hideaway scoreboard, the issue I have the most problem with is consistency of the game. Most of the game is really physical with little called and then ticky-tack call at the end. That is frustrating. Very true. And, 8186, all you want, you can try to get a grassroots campaign to have officials attend post-game pressers. That's not going to happen. I don't think that's the case. And yes, there are some bona fide questions as far as Iowa basketball is concerned, ranging from, is it time for Jordan Bohannon to come off the bench to provide a little bit more of a spark? Fran playing too many guys? We'll ask that about with our guest Kevin Lehman coming up here in just a little bit, Mark. But first, we want to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are across from Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Open up at 4 o'clock. That's a great place, Mark, to get out of the cold tonight. Go out with your friends and watch a little basketball coming up this evening without having to worry about bad calls for your team. For Iowa or Iowa State or Drake or you and I, they'll have it on at Emil's. And tomorrow we'll have our Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 for you. Someone out there will get a chance to win a $25 gift card to Emil's Hideaway with our Pick 6. And that will include basketball and the divisional football games in the National Football League. And we'll have that coming up tomorrow. Mark, I'll throw it to you.
Yeah, busy scoreboard. The American Express Championship is being contested in California over three courses. Zach Johnson off to a good start. The Cedar Rapidian, 4 under par through 15 holes, tied for 17th. He is playing La Quinta. This is used to be a 90-hole tournament. Now it's 72, and the cut comes after three rounds. Coralville, very excited today as it has landed the 2022 and 2023 Freestyle World Cup. Those championships will be held in December this year at the Extreme Arena. Steve Kraft says, and you remember him from the 1970 Iowa Final Four team, he plans to retire after this season as the women's basketball coach at Des Moines Area Community College. Steve is in his 18th year. He started the year 334-162. Great career for Kraftsisson. Kirkwood has announced its first Athletic Hall of Fame class. It will be inducted February 18th. The first three members, Luann Campbell, Desiree Francis, and baseball coach John Lewis. And finally, familiar name has landed on the Northern Iowa football staff. Drew Tate, the former Iowa quarterback, is the new quarterbacks coach at UNI.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. I'm going to be interested to see what Drew Tate is going to do up in Cedar Falls. You mentioned Steve Kraftsisson on the 1980 Final Four team for Iowa.
That I said 70. I meant 80. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and that 1980 team that went to the Final Four. Might have also been on the floor when that call was made, I believe, at Purdue. But at any rate, great coach, good guy. Coached the men for many years at NIAC and now to DMAC as the girls' basketball coach right there. 319-366-1600. Coming up on 3:30, we're going to take a break. We'll get you a weather update. And when we return, the coach, Kevin Lehman, will join us. Talk more about Iowa Rutgers from last night. There were other games. We'll take a look back at Iowa State and Texas Tech. Look ahead to the weekend as well. All that coming up on the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and it is going to be an incredibly cold day. Despite plenty of sunshine, temperatures are just going to be getting barely above that zero mark for highs today. Wind chills will stay in the teens below zero. Tonight we'll have clear skies and light winds. That's a recipe for a very cold night, and temperatures themselves will be dropping down into the teens below zero. Tomorrow we'll have mostly sunny skies, and temperatures will warm up a bit into the teens above zero. That's your latest Iowa News Now Weather First forecast.
The NFL playoffs are in full gear, and everyone can get in on the action with a risk-free bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account, all customers get up to $10 back if your same game parlay doesn't win. Same game parlays let you combine multiple bets from one matchup for a big payout. For example, in the Kansas City and Buffalo game, if you like Josh Allen going over the rushing yards total, Patrick Mahomes going over the passing yards total, and Stephon Diggs a anytime touchdown score, there's the same game parlay, but there's so many more options you can use. Already have an account? Just place your risk-free same game parlay on any divisional round game to qualify. Plus, if it's your first time betting with FanDuel, you can enjoy 30-1 odds on any team in the divisional round to win after using promo code COON. That's promo code KUHN on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Menards has what you need to keep your home safe. From smoke and carbon monoxide alarms to fire extinguishers, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected from emergencies. Grab a general use fire extinguisher. It lasts up to 12 years, and it adds an extra measure to protect you and your family at home. Save big money on Kidde Home Safety products. Good through January 23rd, right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The worst of times can bring out the best in each of us. Doctors, nurses, and frontline workers have labored selflessly to keep us safe during the health crisis of our lifetime. How do we thank these heroes? It's simple. Get your COVID vaccine so we can end this pandemic. Variants are on the rise, and we don't want to put these heroes through another health crisis. They have given their all. Now it's up to you. Please do your part. For you, for them, for us.
This message sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Growing up on a farm, the youngest of 9 kids, Chris had to prove himself, and he did, in the fields and on the court. As a Regina and Simpson College basketball player, he got the nickname Shooter, and it stuck. People still call him Shooter, even now that he's a Coldwell Banker real estate professional. His work ethic, skill, resourcefulness, and 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction in the Iowa City area have made Chris Lehman the perfect realtor to buy or sell your home with. Get in touch at shootershomes.com.
3:33, back with you on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is our text line as well as our phone line. Going to continue talking college hoops with you. It is our Thursday staple. It is our Off the Glass segment with Coach Kevin Lehman. It is brought to you by Caldwell Banker and real estate professional Chris Lehman. With over 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction, trust Chris if you're in the market to buy or sell in Iowa City and surrounding areas. Online, you can find him at shootershomes.com. That's shootershomes.com. Kevin joining us. Kevin, I will ask you, mild-mannered coach Kevin Lehman in the day on the bench, and that call is made last night. How does Kevin Lehman react to that?
I give Fran McCaffrey a lot of credit for not exploding.
True. True.
That jersey on that possession, unbelievable.
No, I agree. I agree. It's tough to referee a basketball game, a college basketball game. All you ask, I think, is consistency as a coach. You know that, Kevin. And that, unfortunately, that was not a call that was consistent with the rest of the game and the way it was being called. It was just a flat-out miss.
Yeah, not consistent at all. I mean, that was, you want to say that's a rock fight for a game, but it really wasn't. It was outstanding defense by both teams. But they set the tone early, Scott. They're going to let them play physical. And you saw a number of, you know, screens that were physical screens, non-called. We have this new term that officials have to deal with called the offensive cylinder, the cylinder of the offensive player, that you can't invade it. Well, that technically can be called almost every time you bump an offensive player, such as Keegan Murray did. But to let that game be that physical for 39 minutes and 50-some seconds and to make that call, yeah, I'm kind of with you. And I usually don't get on officials on those type of situations because it is a tough game to call. And I'm watching, like, you could have called it a foul on Keegan Murray's last shot attempt when they threw it down court because he got bumped just a bit. If you're going to make those calls,
I mean, regardless how good the defense was, Kevin, Iowa held 40 points below its average. What happened?
They couldn't get this game up tempo, Mark, and we talk about that a lot. They did that. It's kind of the exact opposite what we saw against Indiana Hoosiers when they had those big front lines of Jackson Davis and Thompson. They were able to speed that game up. This one, they couldn't get the game sped up. They couldn't get their press set. Part of that reason was they couldn't score baskets to set up the press. Therefore, Rutgers, I thought for Steve Peichel's game plan for the Scarlet Knights, was to perfection. They made this into a half-court slugfest. Didn't let Iowa get in a running game. Did not let them get points in transition. Did not let them get points off turnovers. So if you're Rutgers, they executed that about as well as you could want to win that game. And it's, you know, a Big Ten brawl on the road. In an arena that's kind of set up for you to guard like that because of Jersey Mike's arena, it's a small, packed-in type of arena where the crowd is right on top of you, and you can really energize your defense from that crowd base.
How about the call at the end of the first half? Were you surprised that the 2 points was taken off, or did you agree with that?
Well, it looked good, and you know we had on the call Kevin Cougar, Robbie Hubble, two of the best in the business. They thought it was good, but when you see the replay, it was still in the fingertips, but I heard you mention earlier, Scott, about, you know, do we have to replay every one of those things? But I guess what we come down to, there's so much money here involved in this NCAA tournament, who's going to make it, who's not going to make it.
Last night, maybe just one of those games, Kevin, but no bench points. That was unusual. Very few bench minutes. Was that a function of the game or substitution patterns? What do you think?
Well, I think if you listen to Fran McCaffrey talk, and you know, I visit with him when I used to call their games, he really goes by feel. I've talked to you guys about this before, and I think it's probably a feel of a game. This is going to be a half-court slugfest, and he wants his best five out there. I think it's just the course of a game. Penn State came up Saturday. You probably see him go back to his bench. You know, he did go deep in the bench with, he went 11 deep, there just wasn't a lot of, or 10 deep, there just wasn't a lot of minutes by some of those other guys, and they didn't produce any points. As you mentioned, 0 for whatever from the field, from the bench, and you know, Bohannon was uncharacteristic, not Jordan Bohannon last night. 2 for 10 from distance, a number of air balls, he did not look like we've seen him look in past seasons, past games or whatever. I thought that was surprising because he had some open looks. They ran some sets to get Jordan Bohannon some open threes, and he misfired on a number of those.
which precipitates several texts from listeners here today, Kevin, to get your opinion on this. Is it time for a change in the starting lineup? Just to kind of shake things up a little bit. Different personnel in the lineup, different guys coming off the bench. Maybe that sparks a Jordan Bohannon. I don't know. What do you think?
I think he's got a 6-year senior who's been around this program forever. You know, marks and free throws, three-pointers made. No, I don't bring him off the bench. This guy provides leadership. Struggled to shoot the basketball. We've seen him do that before. He's going to bounce back. There's no way I would take my sixth-year captain and say, I'm going to bring you off the bench. I just don't think that's – I think that's good for that team morale. And here's what you find out, guys, in games like this when you coach. And I learned this from Eldon Miller. You know, so they got to turn around and get ready to play Saturday against Penn State. Be a Pat Carver Hawkeye, the first they've seen all season. Those players are going to go off the lead of the coaches. So you have to, if you start making changes like that, that's when the team starts to look at you like, what's going on here? And you lose some confidence in the performance of some of your players. So, no, I don't make that shakeup at all. But here's what concerns me. If you're Iowa or you're any opposing team in the Big Ten, you just saw the way to defend Keegan Murray. Get physical and beat him up because he gets 13 points off 14 shots. That is not what Keegan Murray does. They were physical with him, swarmed him with a number of bodies. So now you have a formula of how to slow down this guy who's leading the country in points per game.
Speaking of defense, we saw a bit of it in Lubbock, Texas. Kevin, was Iowa State exposed in this game?
Well, what they're getting exposed at, I think, Mark, is their lack of ability to be consistent from the three-point line, and that showed up in that game. And I had this concern before. It's so difficult for them to generate offense that as this gets in the Big 12 and it got to this Big 12 where it's as brutal as the Big 10, you got to have a number of guys. And it brings me back to what you talk about, that Iowa bench. Boy, you go 10 deep is so important in leagues that we're talking about, even in the Missouri Valley. But in these physical leagues like the Big Ten, the Big 12, you got to have 10 guys because it is a war out there. And I heard, you know, Scott mention earlier about today's game is so much different because players are bigger, stronger, they have better nutrition, they have better sleep habits, and they have strength coaches. These are big, strong guys playing the game of basketball. It is a physical game. So you got to have a number of bodies, especially when you get where you play two games. Sometimes you have three games in 8 days. It can wear you out physically, mentally, and psychologically. So you got to have some depth. And that's Iowa State team. They'll struggle to make threes in that game. They're 5 of 26 from distance against Texas Tech. And Texas Tech is a physical team.
Kevin Lehman joining us off the glass segment, brought to you by Chris Lehman, ShootersHomes.com. Check him out right there at 3, coming up on 3:43. We mentioned the first 6 games for Iowa State, just running the gauntlet as far as the Big 12 is concerned. Got through it 2-4. Not great, certainly not bad. We'll see. A very interesting game coming up on Saturday afternoon as TCU comes to Ames. You looked at that coming in, I think even the most ardent Cyclone fans saying, yeah, that's one we can win. And now with Iowa State and what they did in the non-conference and going into the season, being in the top 10 at one point, et cetera, et cetera. You almost had that as a W, but this league is so good. And TCU comes in at 12-3. They did lose last night, but they're even up at 2-2 in the league. And this is suddenly a very pivotal game for Iowa State.
I think in the Cyclones, Scott, they're all pivotal. But when you look at the Big 12, they're talking about a possibility. This is a 10-team league. They're talking a possibility of 8 teams qualifying for the NCAA tournament out of the Big 12. And that'd be, think of that, 80% of your league. I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's going to be 7. But TCU is a team that's going to be that 8th one to sneak in if there is one. You know, Oklahoma State and Kansas State are the 2 so-called bottom feeders in that league. But you know, they're going to need some help, Magic, and they got to regroup in a hurry from that loss at Tech at the Iowa State Cyclones. Because you're looking now, they're 2-4. They cannot lose a home game in the Big 12 against a TCU and Jamie Fisher's team coming in. They got to have this thing. They got to get regrouped. They got to make some threes. And they got to get some help in their scoring punch from Brockington. You know, Kalshier's been up and down. Hunter, we know, has been really solid. Hasn't shot it well. Caleb Grills had some where he showed he can really shoot it. Some other times he hasn't. They got to get some more consistency to help Isaiah Brockington score some points and take some pressure off their defense.
Tough losses for Northern Iowa and Drake last night in the Missouri Valley. They faced one another on Saturday. We know A.J. Green did not play for UNI. What happened in those two games?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been on Zoom calls all morning with the coaches getting ready for that game. Someone had to call. It would have really been a good one because if it was both 1-1, because Ben Jameson would have had a beard that was like 3 weeks old, along with Gary Reima. Now it got shaved because he wasn't going to shave till they lost. And both these teams have been playing for second place to stay behind Loyola, who is hosting Missouri State on the game before this Drake at UNI game. No A.J. Green. I don't know if he's going to be there Saturday either, Mark. Let's hope that he is, but I would think with COVID protocol that he's probably not going to play. But Noah Carter was fantastic. 33 points. He had a Keegan Murray-type game. 33 points, 10 rebounds. He's 11 of 17 from the field, hit 6 threes. And Bowen Bourne has stepped in and done a really good job of running this offense. Since he's been healthy, that's when Northern Iowa's been much better, taking some pressure off A.J. Green. And looking at Drake, this is a team that's a little bit of a mash unit. Tank Hemphill's out with a broken foot, a stress fracture. He may play Saturday, they're not sure. Roman Penn is playing with a pin from a foot he broke last year. He's not at 100%. So Drake does not have the team speed they had last year, although they're still trying to play fast. And they got bounced at home pretty well by Bradley, and that's not typical of a Drake team. They've been dominant at the Knapp Center in league play. Their only loss has been to Loyola last season in the last year and a half.
Would it be better, Kevin, for the Mo Valley, for Missouri State to win that game? I mean, Loyola beats Missouri State. Loyola's got a 3-game lead on the entire league. And if you're thinking about the Mo Valley and a 2-bid situation, I don't know if that's a good thing or not for it. What do you think?
Scott, here's the battle right now. The battle is to be in second place so that you don't meet Loyola until the championship game, because you don't want to meet them in the semifinals. You want to be third or fourth. So you're going to see Missouri State, Drake, and Northern Iowa are the three teams that are trying to get that second spot. Now, Loyola's schedule, though, they have not had the heavyweights yet. They still got to play Loyola twice, Missouri State twice, and Drake twice. So this is the first of those six-game gauntlet that Loyola has. So if you look at their schedule, they've had some pretty easy games, and they struggled home. They were down 16 at home to Bradley, came back and won. They were down 12 against Valparaiso, came back and won in 2 overtimes. So there's some kinks in the armor of this Loyola team, but they're certainly the only team that has the resume in the Valley right now to get that large bid. So if you're the Valley administrators, because, you know, when you get multiple teams in, you get more money into your coffers. So I know what they're thinking is get Loyola in the championship game again, get knocked off, and that way you become a 2-bid league. Otherwise, no one else has the metrics, the net scores to be getting that large bid in the Valley.
Kevin, I want to circle back to the start of this segment, and that had to do with officiating. I'm curious if you've ever officiated. I remember I officiated 2 youth tournaments. Jeff Wessel out of Prairie reeled me in to call a couple. I was untrained. I have to tell you, even at the youth level, it was hard to call a block charge or a variety of different things. Have you ever officiated?
I tell you, first of all, Mark, never trust Jeff Wessel. He'll get you in trouble every time. I had a friend do that to me in Ankeny. He said, "Hey, come on over. We're gonna officiate." I think it was like a third or fourth grade girls' game, And here's what I did, Mark and Scott. This team was getting beat like 30 to nothing. And this is the first half. So, and I told my buddy Jeff, I said, if anybody gets close to somebody and that team hasn't scored, I'm going to blow a whistle and let them get the free throw line. And sure enough, I got a girl who's got a breakaway. And the girl found her, like, she's a clear 3 or 4 feet behind her. And she missed the layup. I blew the whistle and gave her 2 free throws. She made one. And the girl that I called the foul looked at me and I said, hey, they haven't scored this entire game. Let's give them a chance to score. And she just kind of looked at me and smiled. And the girl made 1 free throw and everybody was happy.
There you go. A happy ending for that that particular story. Hey, on the national front, this is...
From that point, though, I learned never to do that again.
Officiate or call that foul?
I'm glad they called the foul. But I tell you, when you, in practice, you have to officiate your the scrimmages for your teams. Even that was brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, you got your own players getting on you during a scrimmage during a... whether it's Northern Iowa, Nebraska, Omaha, or Dowling High School, even that got brutal.
It's tough. It is a tough profession, no doubt. Hey, nationally, hats off to a team that I believe I heard was picked 7th in the preseason poll. Maybe this says a lot about preseason polls. Iowa State was picked 10th, and look what they've done so far. But the Arizona Wildcats are number 3 in the country, yet we're picked number 7 to finish in the Pac-12. How about that, huh?
Yeah, they're getting a lot of pub. I can't think of the name right now, but the assistant from Gonzaga went and picked that program over. And they had a lot of guys leave, so he reloaded a little bit in the transfer portal. Once again, guys, with the transfer portal, Iowa State's a great example. Arizona's a great example. You can reload a team in a hurry. And we've seen some teams do that. So Pac-12, you've got Southern Cal, UCLA, and Arizona. Oregon's starting to make a little run right now, but I don't know if they got enough juice to get themselves an NCAA tournament unless they can win that Pac-12. But the top of that league's pretty good. I had Colorado down the Virgin Islands when they got beat by Southern Illinois. Young team, really talented, though, the Buffaloes.
Tommy Lloyd, by the way.
Tommy Lloyd, yes.
Yeah,
he longtime assistant at Gonzaga. A lot of excitement when he took that job because I think Tommy Lloyd had a number of chances to take other jobs and stayed at Gonzaga. You know, much like we saw Darren DeVries stay at Creighton for 18 years before taking that Drake job, kind of looking for the right opportunity to step forward.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens with UNI Drake. Hey. Iowa State with a big game. Iowa with the sellout crowd. So, got a lot to talk about next Thursday when we hook up with you.
Yeah, and I also heard this, Carver Hawkeye's going to be sold out for the first time. We were told that the Knapp Center for the Drake game is going to be sold out. After talking with Darren DeVries this morning, we will have a Jared DeVries in the audience, and about 40 or 50 from the Appleton area will be attending that game, according to Coach DeVries.
Very nice. So you put Drake, Iowa State, and Iowa all at home. Iowa State's going to have a sellout, so that's with 13 change, almost 15 at Carver, 28, Knapp Center, 6-7 right in there. That's pretty good afternoon of watching basketball in the state of Iowa, so kudos to all the fans for getting out.
Yeah, it is. I mean, hopefully it'll warm up by then too, Scott.
It so better.
You get your car started.
Can't get much colder. Hey, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, you have a good one. Great talking to you.
All right. Kevin Lehman, the coach, and our Off the Glass segment brought to you by Chris Lehman. And you can find out more by going to his website, shootershomes.com. With over 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction, trust Chris if you're in the market to buy or sell in Iowa City and the surrounding areas. We'll come back with a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you after this.
Hey, like the lift? How about getting paid for it? Start as a loader now at Keurig Dr. Pepper and earn $19 an hour. After 90 days, they'll bump it up to $20 an hour. Not bad for keeping yourself in shape, huh? And this is a Monday through Friday gig, so hello weekends off. You get 1 week paid vacation your first year, a 401k, medical, dental, all that good stuff too. Become a loader now for Keurig Dr. Pepper. Just text KDP Jobs to 63879 for more info or go to KeurigDrPepper.com.
When it comes to choosing a Medicare Advantage plan, Blue is affordable. Blue is convenient. Blue is staying healthy. And now, Blue is Medicare Advantage from Wellmark Advantage Health Plan. All-in-one plans including medical and drug coverage, plus health benefits like dental, vision, hearing, fitness, and more. Some available at $0 premiums. Compare plans at WellmarkAdvantage.com. Wellmark Advantage Health Plan is a PPO and an HMO plan with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Wellmark Advantage Health Plan depends on contract renewal.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Adult League.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Ah, yes, and it was a chilly Bowling Night in America last night. And before we get to our wrap-up on that, 98-43, Mark, I know you you chimed in with his comment or her comment. I believe it's a him. As a high school basketball official, we always get together in the last 2 minutes during a timeout and remind each other, let the players win or lose the game. And you said love it, so I love that as well. Good job. More on Iowa Rutgers coming up with Todd and Alex from 4 until 6 right here on KGYM. We've got NBA basketball coming your way tonight. I believe a late one tonight at 8:30. It was not a late one. It was an on-time one, but it wasn't a good one last night, Mark. More on that with our Bowling Night America wrap-up. It is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. And the hot run came to a sudden end last night.
Not even Courtney Green could save the Rusty Nails last night. It was a rough one for the good guys. Barry's Lanes winning 25-5. Over the Rusty Nails. However, we maintain third place, at least for the time being, one game yet to be completed by others. But didn't lose a whole lot of ground, but still a sobering night for the good guys.
Hats off to John and Bob and Jerry and the Grimms. They took it to us last night, as they usually do. We talk about matchups in all sports. There's something, man. We bring out the best in Barry's Lanes. I don't know.
That was on lanes 31 and 32. Did you not leave the doors closed down there or what?
I don't know. We should have left them open. It may have helped a little bit. I don't know. But we had 7 pins, 10 pins, missing 7 pins. Of course, we always miss 10 pins. So, yeah, that's the way it goes sometimes, right?
Does indeed. Ryan Bundy with the high game and high series last night in the Adult Evergreen League. 268 and 744 series. Good job, Ryan. Mike Robinson right behind with a 739. We'll go at it week 21 next week.
Yep, we'll try to do better coming up next week. And if you want to do better, there is time for some open bowling out there, practice. Maybe we need some practice. I don't know. No, we've never practiced in all the years. They have the pro shop. We do encourage folks to take a look at that if you're a bowler or have a bowler out there. And how can you get in touch with May City, Mark? Let the folks know about that.
Phone number is 362-0136. A lot of information also at the website, maycitybowl.com.
We'll get you ready for the NFL weekend coming up tomorrow. Take a look at the college basketball weekend and have the Emil's Hideaway pick six, as Dave will join us for that coming up tomorrow. Chance to win a $25 gift card to Emil's Hideaway. Mark, stay warm, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Will do. Talk to you then, Scott.
Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help.